I'm holding here my copy of the textbook of natural medicine. It's a two-volume series. This is volume two. And it cost about $250. It's 2,000 pages total. So each one is 1,000 pages. So I have this fifth edition, and I also have the fourth edition on Kindle, which was more than £100. And I also have their clinician's guide to natural medicine. I have the Encyclopedia of Natural Medicine. And I also have it in another language, the Encyclopedia of Natural Medicine in Bulgarian. I have that one. And I have a couple of other books from these guys. The two editors are Joseph Pizzorno and Michael Murray. They're legends in the naturopathic world, the natural medicine world. So big respect to the guys, especially Joseph Pizzorno. You know, I think he's such an awesome guy. And I know he's in his 80s, and I think the other dude, Michael, is also in his 80s. So they're legends in the space. Big respect to them. But I have to also, there's a lot of stuff in these books that is absolute bullshit. I'll be quite honest with you. There's so much evidence of the level of brainwashing that these folks are still under, and they will basically die with these views, like that saturated fat is bad, that red meat is bad, that high cholesterol is a real big problem, and you know that plant foods are much more healthful and much more nutrient dense than animal foods, which is bullshit. It's bullshit. It is not true. They have more chemicals. They have more phytochemicals, but they don't have more nutrition. They're actually, plant foods are missing a lot of nutrients that are only found in animal products, or are found in more bioavailable forms, or are much more plentiful. So the reason I'm doing this video is I like to read this book and other textbooks I have with my morning coffee, and I just I went to Appendix 9, and it's called Optimal Health Food Pyramid. So remember, we had the USDA food pyramid. It's now the plate. So that food pyramid was horrible. Everyone knows that. You know, 6 to 8 servings of grains. It was the base of the pyramid. So just horrendous advice. So the problem is, people go from the mainstream, the standard American, the allopathic, the conventional medical stuff, and they see how horrible all of that stuff is. It's designed to make you sick, extract profit from you, and sort of this doom loop until you die. And hopefully you don't die too soon, because we want to extract a lot of value from you on your way to a slow, painful death, right? So that's kind of that. So when people escape from that paradigm, then they flock over to kind of the alternative, as it's derogatorily known, but they go to kind of natural medicine, homeopathy, naturopathic stuff. The problem is, when you go to these guys, are the experts, right? They're legends. When you go to them and you read what they're, and they didn't write the whole book, their editor, so there's a lot of different authors in there. Some of the chapters are co-written by the two guys. But so I'm not saying anything bad about them, but there is a lot of terrible, terrible stuff written in here, right? That if you follow it as a clinician, or as a health seeker, you will not get benefit from it, right? For example, there's so much talk about fish oil, how amazing it is. And I don't recommend fish oil anymore to anyone for any reason. They're talking about how bad red meat is and like saturated fat. And that this nonsense has been debunked for decades now, you know. But it's just the way it is. So anyway, so in Appendix 9, this is a really good biceps workout, I tell you. In Appendix 9, Michael Murray has his optimal health food pyramid. And get this now. Okay, the base of the pyramid is vegetables, 5 to 7 servings. Okay, I won't argue there. People think vegetables are the healthiest thing. Vegetables are, in fact, entirely optional. Entirely optional. If you don't want to eat one vegetable ever again in your life, you can not just survive, but thrive without any vegetables. Not a single one. Not one. Zero. So vegetable, but we won't argue that, right? Then the other side of the base of the pyramid is good oils. Okay. 4 servings. 4. Fucking hell. Fresh nuts and seeds, vegetable oils, flaxseed, olive oil, macadamia, and canola. Canola? Look, in my book, How to Actually Live Longer, Volume 1, I actually advise to not really use any vegetable and seed oils. You know, olive oil is, it can be used sparingly, but the only reason people think olive oil is so healthy is because of a very serious marketing campaign promoting it, right? When you actually break it down, what it contains and the fatty acid profile, nothing special about it. In fact, it's suboptimal. I stopped quite a long time ago. I stopped eating olive oil. Like, if my wife puts it on a salad and stuff like that, I'm not gonna, you know, moan about it or anything. But I don't go out of my way to add it into my diet. Plus, it tastes horrible, right? And generally, if something tastes horrible, like broccoli or spinach, that's a sign. That kind of is a sign. And we're being trained to go against our instincts, right? Honey, delicious. Milk, delicious. Steak, delicious, right? But also, you know, oranges, delicious, and stuff like that. So certain, like tomatoes, I like tomatoes. So taste is a big one, right? Taste is a big one. They are training us to go against our freaking instincts here. So anyway, so good oils, 4 servings, vegetables, 5 to 7 servings. I'm sorry, Michael. Like, big respect, but with all due respect, this is a terrible, terrible base of the pyramid. Then the next level, whole grains, but low glycemic. Ooga booga, high glycemic foods will kill you. Low glycemic choices only, 3 to 5 servings a day. And then on the other side of the second level of the pyramid, legumes, 2 to 3 servings. And if you're vegetarian, 4 to 5. Let's just do a quick tally of what we have so far. Whole grains. Okay, let's start at the bottom. 5 to 7 servings of vegetables. 4 servings of the good oils. Whole grains, 3 to 5 servings. And legumes, 2 to 3 servings. I have to respectfully disagree. In my book, I talk about some of the reasons why I don't eat grains in my diet, for the most part, right? Occasional pizza, whatever I'll have, it's totally fine. I don't eat legumes, beans, I stopped. Basically any grains, anything that's a seed, nuts, seeds, all of that stuff. I explain why in the book, mostly because of the anti-nutrients, mostly, you know, gluten and phytates and stuff like that, and all the omega-6s that are inflammatory and blah blah blah. So I explain why. So of these, so you have two stages of the pyramid: the good oils, vegetables, legumes, the whole grains. None of these foods are actually essential for survival and to thrive, to be optimally healthy. None of these are. In fact, if anything, a lot of these can be detrimental. They can actually impede your optimal health. They can impede your journey back to good health if you're trying to restore your health, okay? But it gets better, or worse rather. Fruit, 2 to 3 servings. So now I guess, so freaking grains and legumes and all this other stuff is better than fruit? Oh yeah. Too much sugar. Yeah, remember, sugar is gonna kill you. I recently did a podcast on my podcast about sugar myths. By the way, you can check that out, Connecting Minds podcast with Christian Yordanov. I'm just, if you're on the podcast already, I'm saying this because I'm gonna be publishing this on Instagram. So if you are listening to the podcast and you don't follow me on Instagram, please follow me on Instagram. And if you're watching this on Instagram and you listen to podcasts, check out my podcast, Connecting Minds, and follow that. There'll be good longer form content because, as you will probably quickly find out, brevity is not my strong point. Where are we at here? 10 minutes. Wow, that's not bad. We're doing good. So fruit, 2 to 3 servings. Okay. I mean, I guess that. Okay, 2 to 3 servings. And then high quality protein, 2 to 3 servings. And let's see what high quality protein is. Lean chicken or turkey, fish and seafood, eggs. No mention of lamb, no mention of beef, which is actually probably beef is the best protein and meat, and just it's the best, it's one of the best foods ever. For your health. And what's interesting is that I actually agree that lean chicken or turkey can be better because even organic chicken, they're fed a lot of grain, like corn, and in the US I'm sure they get fed a lot of soy as well. So the chicken fat is going to have a very similar profile to a polyunsaturated fatty or to a seed oil. So when we cook chicken, we actually like to, if it's a chicken soup, we scoop the fat off the top, or we kind of, my wife is good at cooking it in a way where the fat drains off, and we just discard that. I don't even want to give it to my dog because I don't want to give my dog omega-6s, you know, they're just not good for you. We eat way, way too many. Most people eat way, way, way too many. So, and then at the top of the pyramid, dairy, 1 to 2 servings, but it has to be low fat, apparently. That's the optimal way. And there's an arrow pointing to it that says you can substitute that dairy, those 1-2 servings, with a calcium supplement. So basically, the dairy is just a way to get your calcium, nothing more. So this kind of preposterous. This food pyramid, optimal food, health food pyramid is terrible. Terrible. And you know what? In this chapter, he says that this, again, I don't want to rip on Michael, but he says foods to avoid entirely. And there is a lot of good stuff here. This is what you have to understand. This is why people are confused. Why people are giving terrible food, dietary and health and nutrition advice, because there's a lot of good information, but interspersed with there's a lot of fallacies, a lot of myths, and a lot of really bad advice. And I guess my sort of aim when I research is to figure out what's the highest quality information from all the different many sources I research and I learn from. And then to integrate the best parts, right? Because we all have blind spots. I know I have blind spots. There's a lot of knowledge lacking that I need to sort of knowledge gaps that I want to fill in terms of all sorts of things, right? So I understand that. But also, I also understand that a lot of these guys that are, especially on the older end, it will be very difficult to change their mind. So they will, until the day they die, they will continue to espouse the same stuff they've been espousing for. Imagine you're like 65, a doctor or whatever, and you've been telling your patients or clients for 30, 40 years, this is bad, that is bad, you know, these are the best foods. You can't sort of pivot and say, oh my God, I was totally wrong this entire time. No. Very, very few people are going to do that. So I feel like I'm lucky that I'm able to discern and change my mind and sort of kind of integrate that and keep, I guess maybe the older I get, the harder it will be. So for now, for now, I count myself lucky that I was exposed to so many different sources of information that allowed me to discern what is good, what is bad, and what will actually help people restore their health and then achieve optimal health and then maintain that optimal health for a very long time, right? So I just feel like I'm lucky that I'm open-minded enough to consider so many different sources, because we often, I've noticed with people, is they find a diet that works for them and it might only work for them 2-3 months, and then they get married to it, and then they religiously will defend it as if you're attacking their character when you say that keto is not an optimal diet long term, or carnivore is not an optimal diet long term, or plant-based is entirely suboptimal in many, many ways. So in terms of foods to avoid entirely, he's basically right for the most part. So refined white flour products. So anything with white flour, pastas, cakes, muffins, pretzels, that's absolute trash, garbage. Yes, avoid that. Refined sugar. So stuff with refined sugar will be things like cereals, candies, baked goods. So that's trash. So generally where there's refined sugar, there's a lot of garbage like flour and emulsifiers and chemicals. So yes, I agree with that as well. Processed foods packed full of empty calories, sure. Soups and whatever else, chips. But then he lumps the fats together. Margarine, shortening, and butter. Like, what did butter do to you, bro? Who hurt you? Who did you slip on a stick of butter in the kitchen one day and you're like, butter is an asshole, I'm gonna like smear it? Like, margarine's terrible, shortening, yeah, but why lump in butter? Is it because of the saturated fat? This has been debunked for decades. Like, I meet people, lay people now, where they know cholesterol, the myth designed to sell you drugs, butter, they know animal foods are the health, they just, lay people know this, and you know, your editor of books this size, 2000 page, $250 volumes, and your butter is bad. Okay, and then smoked or cured meats, yeah, sure. Meats cooked at extremely high temperatures or cooked to well done, yes, avoid that. Carcinogens and stuff, denaturing the protein, sure. Heavily sweetened or artificially sweetened soft drinks, juice flavored drinks, yes, absolutely. Fried foods, including French fries, potato chips, corn chips, and donuts. So overall, a good advice, but there's, you can see, you, if you're just someone that is switching over from one side to the other, to the natural side, and you, if you go to influential sources like this and you just absorb things without discernment, without critical thinking, you're going to give terrible advice along with the good advice you give to people. And depending on what part of the advice that you give them they follow, they could be hurting themselves in the long term, you know? And then what really sort of irks me is that this is direct quote from this chapter of the book, this appendix. Vegetables provide the broadest range of nutrients of any food class. That is absolutely false. False. There is so many things, so many nutrients, and not just necessarily vitamins or minerals that are classified as essential. There's a lot of nutrients only found in animal products that, whilst they might not be classified as essential, meaning the body may be able to synthesize them, that does not mean that they're not essential for life, right? So also that does not mean that obtaining more of them from the diet, meaning we have less of a burden to synthesize them, or we have more of an abundance of them, so more functions can be supported with them. So that just because something is quote-unquote non-essential doesn't mean it's not healthful and beneficial to obtain from the diet. And there's a ton of stuff. Before recording this, I put in Chronometer. I put it's an app to track your diet. I put in chicken liver 30 grams or about an ounce, 2 eggs cooked, 200 grams of lean 90% lean ground beef, and 250 grams of goat milk, 800 calories. And then I put cauliflower 200 grams, spinach raw 200 grams, apple, two bananas, one avocado, 1 cup of broccoli. So that's 840 calories. And then I just looked at the nutrients, vitamins, minerals, and fats and protein. And first of all, I worked out the cost. The meat stuff or the animal products, they would cost 2/3 of the amount of in organic. I'm talking all organic here. So they would cost me about $10 roughly, whereas these vegetables and fruits would cost at current prices roughly $15. So 2/3 cheaper to get the animal foods. And with the animal foods, you're getting a hell of a lot more protein. You're getting a hell of a lot more in terms of many of the B vitamins and certain other important minerals like zinc and calcium and so on. You're getting a hell of a lot more protein, I should state. You're talking more than double the amount of three times the protein. But remember that vegetable protein doesn't hold a candle to animal protein. And the worst part with the plant foods is this Chronometer app now gives you the oxalate content, which is absolutely epic. So I couldn't believe this. These sort of the broccoli, the cauliflower, the spinach, the apple, bananas, blah blah, one avocado, that contains 2,300 milligrams of oxalate. If you don't know what oxalate is, Sally Norton has a book called Toxic Superfoods, why whatever things you think are healthy are slowly killing you or contributing to your disease. I don't know the subtitle, but Toxic Superfoods is the book, and she talks a lot about oxalate. And this is a lot of these minerals, it can bind minerals, making them bioavailable. It can cause, when it binds with minerals like calcium, magnesium, and stuff like that, it can create these oxalate crystals, and these can get jammed in your joints, your organs. They can create kidney stones. And so you're getting 2 grams of freaking oxalates. That is unbelievably way too much for a day to be getting. And you're not even getting, for many people, you're not even getting half to a third of your caloric intake here, you know, from all of these plant foods. Whereas on the other side of things, 82 grams of protein from just a little bit, 30 grams of chicken liver, 2 eggs cooked, and let's say 200 gram portion of ground beef and a cup of milk. That's 82 grams of protein. Like, that's perfect. Many people don't get that in a day. And they should be getting at least 100, most people. So my point here, without getting too long-winded, is the reason a lot of people are sick and are not getting better, or not getting better quickly enough, and the reason there's a lot of terrible advice out there, is because a lot of people are feeding at the trough of PubMed, which there's a lot of fraudulent and agenda-driven research being published there. A lot of people will not change their beliefs, and a lot of people are getting their information without thinking critically about it, and then disseminating it to their clients or to their readers or whatever else, listeners, if it's a podcast, without critical thought. We are just automatons regurgitating and repeating information. So I think this is why my book is short, right? It's a couple hundred pages, How to Actually Live Longer, Volume 1. But in these couple hundred pages, I'm condensing, distilling, boiling down thousands and thousands of hours of research and experimentation and making mistakes and banging my head against the wall and going down the wrong paths. And it's distilled down. All you need to do is listen to my advice, and you will be way, way, way ahead of the game. And I'm not coming from a place of arrogance or something. For example, when I say I don't eat grains, and I generally, if I'm helping someone, teaching someone how to restore their health, I'm going to recommend stop eating grains, ideally anything that's a seed. So in maybe I am a little bit extreme from someone looking at me from the side, be like, that's extreme, right? That's not optimal advice to be that extreme. But and maybe in a few years time, or in a few decades, I'll be like, okay, maybe my dietary sort of advice was a little bit too stringent. But I would rather do that than tell people, oh, you can indulge once in a while. Because if you tell someone that at the outset and they don't respect the process and they don't do the right things, if they start slacking off too early and they don't follow through on the plan, they won't get as good results, right? So I'm telling you, I've had clients. I had one client that when she finally listened to me about removing the nuts, seeds, and all the other stuff, we had just finished the package that we were working together, the 6-month package. And I pinged her like maybe a month to 3 months later, I can't remember. And I was like, how are you and stuff? All good with you? And she said something along the lines of, removing the nuts and grains and seeds has completely transformed me. You know, has completely transformed me. So that's kind of the power of the stuff, you know what I mean? And removing some of these things take a while. But anyway, kind of that's all I wanted to talk about. The reason there's a lot of bad advice out there is because there's not enough critical thought of what we read. So if you just read stuff and then tell people, this study says you should do that. You know, for example, another quick example. Jeez, I think this video will be too long for Instagram. I don't think anybody will watch it. I don't care. So if you're still here, kudos to you, you know. Make sure you book a free intro call and see if we're a good fit to work together. Because if you're still listening, if you find this valuable, working with me will not take you to the next level. You're going to have an exponential improvement in your health. Well, I shouldn't make such crazy claims on the internet. You'll be much better off at the end of it. What the hell was I talking about? See, I woke up, it's like 9 a.m., had a bunch of coffee, had a chip on my shoulder reading about this optimal food diet pyramid here. And now I'm all hot and bothered and flustered. So that's the thing, you know. The example, final example. There's one, and again, I don't want to rip on the company doing this. They have a really good sort of set of genetic tests, DNA panels, and the genetic data that we get running those is useful. So with some clients, we can when we get the genetic data, the DNA, the specific genes, especially the methylation genes, we can see where there are vulnerabilities along these methylation pathways. And the nice thing about this, it's an investment once. You invest once in the test, you know, a couple $100. And now you have that data for life. So you know how to mitigate risks based on vulnerabilities with nutritional supplementary strategies, stuff like that, right? So that the reports themselves are nice. The company is good about client privacy. They destroy the sample after a set time. They don't do extra research with the samples, unlike other companies where they do whatever the hell they want with your DNA data, and which is very unethical. But what I hate is the reports the automated recommendations in the report. I just tell clients, listen, don't even bother reading the recommendations. They're gonna be dumb. Like if you have certain polymorphisms in the, some of the detoxification enzymes, for example, like the GST and so on, which I have personally, and I actually have a couple of completely missing genes, which means my phase two detoxification needs a lot of support. And the automated reports would say dumb things like eat cruciferous vegetables, because the research, and again, this is based on, they have studies to support this. So I've got a bunch of the studies that support the reasoning behind a lot of these automated report recommendations, you know, because I've done the course that they had and stuff like that. And the study will be things, something like cruciferous vegetables or broccoli or whatever are found to upregulate expression of certain detoxification enzymes in the liver. And that's, while that is true, the fact is that those detoxification enzymes, they require amino acids and protein and things like that, and cofactors and stuff. So while you are upregulating them, what are you doing when you upregulate them? The reason cruciferous vegetables upregulate our detoxification enzymes is because they contain toxins. The body responds to those toxins by upregulating its detoxification enzymes. So the thing is that we are bathed in toxins daily. So our detoxification enzymes do not need upregulation. We need to support our detoxification system. So we need B vitamins and protein and certain other minerals and cofactors and stuff like that. And so the report recommendations are kind of dumb. And sometimes they're downright freaking terrible. Like there was in for specific genes, they recommend the supplement resveratrol, which, I mean, that a lot of that research was fraudulent. This is actually an estrogenic compound, right? And this is harmful. It basically is harmful, right? And so my point here is that if you're just like starting out and you read this report, that you do their course, you might read some of the studies that they give you, and then you run this report on your clients, and then your client comes back with specific, you know, detoxification enzymes have polymorphisms, and you're like, oh, you just need to eat more vegetables and cruciferous vegetables and more broccoli, and like you're giving them bad advice, you know. So again, not playing the blame game here, but you can see the chain. So there's a whole big old chain that goes back to the research. So people will read the research and try, and I've made that mistake many times, and I really need to sort of, this one thing I'm working on is to be more discerning when I read information, because I've often before I fall into the trap where I read something and then the next day I tell people, well, that study found this, so we should do this. So maybe we shouldn't do that. You know, maybe that study was a complete fraud, which there is many, many of them, thousands of them, if not more, you know. So my point there was, we as practitioners can make mistakes if we don't discern, if we don't really apply critical thinking to what we read. And the reason we do that is because it comes from an authoritative source, like the textbook of natural medicine or PubMed or some other textbook on whatever, endocrinology or whatever else, right? So at this point, I forgot. Oh, yeah. I forgot what the hell the whole topic of the episode. I don't know what this is. This was supposed to be like a 10-minute video for Instagram, but now it's turned into a 35-minute thing. So I completely... This Instagram is completely discombobulating me. I'm more of a long-form guy, and I'm trying to do short videos for Instagram, and they're never under 10 minutes. So I don't know. I really don't know what to do. I guess if Instagram accepts this, if they do, I'm going to leave it on here. If you're still here on Instagram, oh my God, you need to follow me on the podcast. And anyway, now I'm talking shit. So thank you for listening. I hope you found this valuable. And as always, if you need help with your health journey, if you need someone that will give you, help you restore your health, teach you how to do it quickly, efficiently, in a safe manner, you can go to my website, book that free intro call. And if we're a good fit together, I'll accept it. And then we can get together for 20 minutes to half an hour and talk about how I can help you out, if we're good, see if we're a good fit to work together, and we can take it from there. Otherwise, thanks for watching and or listening. Wish you all the very best, and see you on the next one.